relax and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW Wrestling 2.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Okay, that was a little creepy. I don't know if that happened on your end, but I had a little Halloween sound bite at the beginning of the show, and I started hearing double of everything. Yeah, that was a little creepy because I didn't change any of the settings. But good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night, October 12th, 2022. Welcome to this edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony, and I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. I invite each and every one of you, go check out the synopsis for the topics that we're going to get into tonight and the title of tonight's show. Because I think going forward, I definitely need to make a little bit of a shift as far as the format of the Wednesday shows. Fact of the matter is that there's about 10,000 AEW Dynamite recaps, reviews going on. And I personally don't think that's what the majority of you are here to watch me talk about or listen to me talk about. I mean, of course, you know, we'll get into the results. And I thought Dynamite tonight was a very good show. Some of the match placement was a little bit, you know, I mean, obviously, putting Orange Cassidy last, you could almost bet the ranch how this was going to go off the air. But, you know, the interview that Ariel Helwani did with Tony Khan last week really put an exclamation point in something that I've been saying to all of you for over 2 years. And I think, you know, some of you speculated the same. Maybe it crossed your mind. Maybe some of you were just in total denial. But it's starting to get more noticeable, louder, and you're starting to see the blue check marks in wrestling media starting to echo something that we've been talking about for a couple of years. And to be honest with you, you know, I really don't want to spend an hour talking about Dynamite or even NXT. You know, if I tell you it's a good show and you didn't check it out, you know, go check it out. You know, if you did check it out, you already know what happened. But we're going to talk about a few things tonight. A couple of things that I guarantee you have not heard or seen on any other shows out there. And we'll have a fun episode. Plus, you know, we have to talk about the little Twitter back and forth that Saraya and Jim Cornette did today. And Cora Jade and Bron Breakker. You know, the happy couple exchanging a little bit of slaps today on social media as well. So, you know, I wanted to open up by telling everyone the three most dangerous letters in pro wrestling. The three most dangerous letters. It is not RKO. It is not WWE. It's not even AEW. You know what the three most dangerous letters in pro wrestling is now? NDA, because that is the new scapegoat when Tony Khan gets exposed for his lack of being, I don't want to say being honest, but just the unprofessionalism. If you did not check out the interview that he did with Ariel Helwani, you know, I'm a fan of AEW. I'm a fan of a lot of the wrestlers that are on the show. But I've been saying for the longest that Tony Khan is a petulant child with billions of dollars. And I have been saying for a few years that, you know, AEW is not going anywhere because it's not about, you know, making billions and that bottom line. And of course, AEW would love to make a profit. But as I have explained before, even if Tony Khan lost $50 million a year, 20 years, that would be just $1 billion. Look at his net worth. I have always said that this is a guy, I compared him to Wrestlicious. Anybody remember Wrestlicious? I don't remember the guy's name, but when that came out, I said from day one that this is a guy that got money and always fantasized being a promoter, in that case, women's wrestling, being a pimp, having all of his, you know, fantasies fulfilled. And sure, he would love to make money. The difference is between Wrestlicious and Tony Khan. So that guy only had $1 million or $2 million. $1 million or $2 million, Tony Khan could flush down the toilet and it would not make a difference. Jonathan Vargas, is that his name? Why does that not sound right? I mean, maybe because I haven't talked about him forever. But Tony Khan is a beloved wrestling fan. And I've said this many times before, you know, the greatest recipe for us wrestling fans is to have a billionaire come into pro wrestling, but also be a wrestling fan. And that is what Tony Khan is. The thing is, though, this is like us. If we played fantasy baseball for 10, 20 years, and you ever closed your eyes and envisioned yourself owning your own baseball team, signing anybody you want, not just anybody you want, your favorite players, and getting them to work for you, all of the message board posts that he has done in 15 plus years, Tony Khan, that he would have done this and he would have done that. And I told you 3 years ago that Tony Khan's fantasy promotion is ECW meets Ring of Honor meets New Japan. And that is why everything is honor, 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 honor. I mean, this is showcased on TV, not to please us, but to please him. You know, nobody tries to dissect, wait a minute, FTR have not had one AEW match as a tag team since April 1st. Oh, but they wrestled Ring of Honor. Oh, but they have the Ring of Honor titles. Wait, the Briscoes are signed to Ring of Honor, but not AEW. You have someone else signed to a Ring of Honor deal, but they compete on AEW television. You have someone who is an AEW sign. Is Chris Jericho signed to a Ring of Honor deal? You know, you see how stupid it gets so quickly. Tony Khan owns it all. So Tony Khan could put anybody who's under contract to work under the banners. Maybe they get a little bit extra to do something under the ROH banner. But at the end of the day, Tony Khan is not concerned about the bottom line, how much money he makes. He is more concerned about Booker of the Year. He is more concerned about his name being next to Vince McMahon's. He is buying his way into the history books. And the fact that you don't hear anybody on the outside being brought in to try to smooth things out, to try to improve this, to try to take the load off of Tony Khan. You know, when you have someone who always wanted to do their own thing and be, and I brought this up on Patreon yesterday. You know, Tony Khan and Barack Obama have something in common. And I'm not throwing shade on Barack Obama. I mean, I understand, you know, how much a lot of you beloved him. One thing about Barack Obama that always did rub me off the wrong way, and I said this on Patreon, is, you know, what is the one letter that you couldn't stop Barack Obama from saying? I did this. I signed this. When Osama bin Laden was killed, I did this and I issued that and I did this and I made this. If you check out, and I'm not comparing AEW to WWE right now, but the big difference is when you hear Triple H talk, we, you make it feel, with Tony Khan is, I booked this, I signed this, I inked this, I made this, I did that. Go watch the Ariel Helwani interview. Ariel Helwani did his podcast and called the interview with Tony Khan one of the most frustrating interviews of his career. And this is the difference of Busted Open Radio. I'm not throwing shade on Dave LaGreca. not throwing shade on Bully Ray or anyone else, but we have said it so many times before. The hard-nosed elephant in the room questions that should be asked are not asked. And if you even just hint at it with Tony Khan, I can't talk about it. I can't comment about it. Why can't Tony Khan comment about the stuff with MJF 6-7 months ago? Give me any logical reason. Why can't he comment about certain things? Everything. See, this is the difference between a random podcaster who gushes over Tony Khan. That's why Tony Khan does all those interviews on so many podcasts, because he knows that he is being welcomed with cake, ice cream, and pillows. Busted Open, if they start asking Tony Khan the hard-nosed questions, Tony Khan will not go on there anymore. Tony Khan has to be comfortable. He has to be spoiled. He has to be given, he has to have all the little red M&Ms. And let's be honest, I'm sorry if people don't like what I'm saying, but that is the fucking facts, and that is what I've been saying for years. I want AEW to succeed because I want to see great wrestling on TV. But let's be honest as far as what AEW actually is. This is about, you know, the millennial promotion that I said 4 years ago. This guy wants everything his way, and if you go against him, you are banned, you're blocked, you're this, you're this, you're that, you're this. And I've said it. I like Busted Open Radio. But you could see the obvious, and nobody wants to call them out, that they coddle Tony Khan so they could have Tony Khan on. They'd rather coddle him and have him on every week than hit him with some hard-nosed questions, and then maybe he doesn't come back. And Ariel Helwani did what 99.99% of the other podcasters would not do, and asked Tony Khan legitimate questions. And every single time, I can't comment. I can't talk about it. I have no comment. There's an outside investigation. Anyone out there ever stop to think, what is the outside investigation? I mean, is Inspector Gadget trying to hack GTV to try to see who threw the first punch? What was said? Did anybody ever stop to think what this outside investigation actually is? How's about that the outside investigation is more about the fact that AEW's contracts are as thick as this, and there are so many legalese that are not in those contracts? See, when Tony Khan called WWE contracts shit, they're shit contracts. They may be shit contracts to Tony Khan, but there are so many little fucking legalese on there that if somebody doesn't go along with the program, an injury happens, this happens, that happens, that happens. Oh, well, they can't be released. They owe this time. They do this. You know, Tony Khan gives so broad of an offer to these people to get them in that they sign it. But when Tony Khan now is paying that kind of money, and now he has the backstage issues that he does, legally, did anybody think, let's be honest with it, anybody think Tony Khan is a legal professor? You think Tony Khan understands the legalese about how business is run? Why do you think pro wrestlers use multi-million dollar agents, even the wrestlers that might only get $200,000 a year? $100,000 a year. Why do they hire these crazy sports agents? Because they know those sports agents will dot the I's, cross the T's, and cover every little thing that they can have to benefit them. For CM Punk and a lot of others, it's a business. But now Tony Khan put CM Punk in the office. Gee, I wonder who said that about 9 months ago. CM Punk is in the office. Brian Danielson helping out a little bit. Now John Moxley signs a 5-year deal. And you have Kenny Omega getting 2 paychecks. You have the Young Bucks getting 2 paychecks. You have others. And now you have all of this shit go down. Tony Khan legally doesn't know what the fuck he can and cannot do. That is the majority of the outside investigation. It's not a whodunit. It's not who started it, who provoked this, who hit who bit who this. It's more about legally, how the fuck do you handle this? That is why I think Cody Rhodes left more than anything else. I think Cody Rhodes, when AEW first started, he thought that this could be a viable alternative to WWE. And it's about growing bigger, better, making tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, really trying to take pro wrestling where it should be as an alternative. And then I think Cody Rhodes started realizing, no, this is Tony Khan's, this is his playground. This is his playground. It's not about maximizing profits. It's not about doing things professionally. It's not about doing things the right way. And then you have the EVPs. When they don't like something that's going on, they leak little crumbs to the pigeons, which is the dirt sheets and podcasters. And those pigeons will never tell you that they get fed this shit. And then they put it out there as rumors. And then it sits there and metastasizes, and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. And then things blow up. So you see the AEW culture, and then I see people like, oh, you know, CM Punk embarrassed Tony Khan, or, you know, the way these people acted is such a disrespect for Tony. They are, the people in the back are what Tony Khan is. Tony Khan, this is his playground, and he has to have all the toys in sync with each other. So when you realize that what you're watching is to please Tony Khan first, and we should enjoy Ring of Honor, and why would we want to watch WWE, and that is garbage, and this is real, and this is that, and that's why you should be this, and if you don't do this, and this is that, that's why I said when Tony Khan, you know, said something like, oh, he tells Nick Khan or somebody to knock it off, to Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon, you think these people take it seriously? They laugh. They laugh. This is a billionaire 39-year-old that acts like he's 17. They know that Tony Khan is not a threat to them. Tony Khan is a billionaire. So if Tony Khan wants to give $10 million to a wrestler just so they don't sign with WWE, Tony Khan will do it if he wants to do it. I personally think the Rene Paquette signing today was to offset kind of what happened with Ariel Helwani. Okay, WWE has Ariel Helwani in the back pocket. Oh, I'll sign Rene. And guess what? Rene can still do this, 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 this. As long as he shows up for Dynamite. And why wouldn't she do it? That's a good signing. Her working now with a husband is a good thing. Renee Paquette is great for pro wrestling. This is not a shot on her. She's great, and it's a good signing. But do you really think AEW needed Renee to hold the microphone for Nyla Rose? Or, oh, she's going to do a backstage interview. She's going to sit down with Bryan Danielson and Wheeler Yuta next week. I mean, was it really, this is really what something that AEW needed? So I think it's just names to pull. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, we kind of joked. Remember I showed you that Fox picture where all they needed to do is sign Rene Paquette? They got the whole Fox crew. They got everybody. They got everybody. So shout out. So I know somebody just sent a super chat, and for some reason, it's not popping up on the screen. But King of Games, thank you for the five spot. Do I think CM Punk has come to the same realization as Cody Rhodes about AEW? I think a lot of these wrestlers already knew when they were signing. I think after a year, I think wrestlers pretty much knew. I think when Miro signed his deal and Andrade signed his deal and a lot of guys and gals who were in WWE that used to see 30-page contracts and now they see four, I think they all knew. Like, this guy is just giving money away. He just wants the toys. And right, look at Miro. Another week gone by, everyone. He redeemed another week doing nothing. What do you think Lana did an interview recently and said, hey, I'd work for AEW. You wouldn't? Redeemer does nothing. Does nothing. FTR was out there today. Gee, are we going to get finally an AEW match? No. No. They bring back Sean Spears. Nothing against Sean Spears. But why did they bring back Sean Spears? Because the embassy has three people. And FTR is two. So we'll put Sean Spears. So now we can have three on three. And it'll be a Ring of Honor match, because the embassy is signed to Ring of Honor. They're not signed to AEW. So I want to read you quickly the Ariel Helwani comments about the interview he did with Tony Khan. This is his exact words. Quote, look, whatever I'm going to say here is going to piss off the AEW supermarks. But I'll just say it. This is one of the most frustrating and, to a degree, not so fun interviews of my career. Because, as you may have seen, he didn't want to answer anything. Now, look like you're going to come on and promote X, Y, and Z. Great. And I'll play that dance with you. And I did at the beginning. But you got to give us something to not even tell me, like, how you were feeling. I'm not asking for specifics. All right, fine, I asked. Is CM Punk going to wrestle for you? Is he coming back? You don't want to get into it. Fine. But just tell me how you're feeling. Give me something. My feeling on that interview, in short, was that this is me just shooting right here. I feel like Tony Khan doesn't trust me. I feel like he doesn't really like me. And I feel like he came in there with his guard super up and didn't want to give me any sort of morsel. Gee, morsel, pigeons, crumbs, any sort of morsel. Because he thought that if he opened the door a little bit, I would walk in and ask X, Y, and Z. And I tried to tell his people, like, yo, I have no allegiances to anyone. So I work for the British broadcaster of WWE. So what? What do you think I'm going to do? You think I'm going to come at him and hit him over the head with a steel chair? What are we talking about here? So I don't know. Didn't really enjoy it. Frustrating. I mean, even the MJF stuff. The night MJF no-showed that autograph signing, I came up here and we talked about it. And I said, you know, this is all storyline. And Tony Khan, just think about a owner of a company, head of a roster, head of your talent. And you have a guy who goes into business for himself, supposedly, walks out and doesn't act professional, supposedly goes into business for himself, calls Tony Khan a fucking mark and all this other stuff on TV, which for some reason the censors were sleeping at the time. And he never, ever stood up for his own roster. If MJF walks out on us, he doesn't just walk out on me. He walks out on every wrestler who makes AEW what it is today. He walked out on every fan, and that is not acceptable in our company. Never, ever did that at all. Why? Because Tony Khan put himself in a major trap years ago. And that major trap was, I will never lie to the fans. And what did I say almost 3 years ago? How does he get out of lying? By not saying a fucking word. So when you get an Ariel Helwani that asks a simple question, I don't want to talk about it. I can't comment about it. I don't want to talk about it. I can't comment about it. Remember when I said at the beginning of the show, NDA is the most dangerous ledge, because now the people who are scapegoating for Tony Khan are now saying, oh, there must be an NDA in place that he can't talk about CM Punk. There must be an NDA in place. Fucking NDA no one even heard of until the Vince McMahon taking his pee-pee out and having sex with people within WWE. Now everybody is using NDA as a scapegoat, like, Tony Khan doesn't want to talk about the MJ stuff from months ago. Oh, there must be an NDA in place. The fuck out of here. This is a billionaire running his fantasy, fulfilling his fantasy, paying crazy amounts of money to do so, and a TV network says, hey, you want to pay this kind of money and you want to sign upper tier talent and you want to give us a good show? Hey, pay whatever the fuck you want. We'll air it. Just don't curse. Just don't do this. Just don't do that. Keep this place, this and that. And that's it. Plain and simple. If I own a TV network and I find out some billionaire wants to fulfill his fantasy and wants to create his own TV show with his own this and own that and hire all top-notch actors and actresses, even though the guy has no professional background at all, do you notice when he talks about soccer and when he talks about other projects he's involved in, do you ever notice online that he is the most professional person out there? Why? Because these leagues have a lot of guidelines and a lot of ethics and a lot of ethics and a lot of other things. And Tony Khan knows He can't do this. He can't rip this. He can't mock this person. He can't do this. He doesn't do any of that. Pro wrestling is his hobby. Pro wrestling is his fun time. Pro wrestling is his release. So this is why going forward, we can enjoy what we're watching on TV. We get to see great wrestling. We get to see some wrestlers that if WWE doesn't sign them, you might just see them on the indie circuit. We get to see wrestlers and some top quality wrestling because they are earning their paycheck. The wrestlers are businessmen. It seems to hurt people's feelings when they hear Bryan Danielson or CM Punk or Keith Lee or Malachi Black saying, look, this is my job. This is my job. You know, this is my business. This is what I do for a living. For some reason, there is 900,000 fans out there that have this mindset that, oh, no, it's much bigger than that. I will never forget that night of ECW, the ECW, tribute show that TNA did. And it was a Hardcore Justice. I don't remember the name of it. But I remember when the show was over and the Dudleys had a sign, and I think it said, fuck Vince or something like that. And I remember they were saying, like, fuck you, Vince. And Dixie Carter was right in the middle of it. And it was that night that I came up here and said, this woman thinks that all these people work for her, yes, as a job, but, you know, they'll do a little bit more because it's a family here. This is family atmosphere, you know. And she unfortunately learned, you know, not too long after that when some people started leaving, like, but wait a minute. I thought, you know, this was more than just a contract. So, all right, I know, who said it? Aman Perry. Thank you for the five spot, my friend. Last time Sean Spears was on TV, he was beating Wardlow with a belt. Now he's teaming with Wardlow. Seems like they act like it didn't happen. Oh, yeah. Look, I was going to joke about this tonight. All right. We saw Nyla Rose tonight, Iman, with the TBS championship. There's Renee interviewing Nyla Rose, who was with Vicky Guerrero and Marina Shafir. And Nyla Rose is in possession of Jay Cargill's title. Now, Anna Jay shows up, and she challenges Nyla Rose for Friday, Rampage, and kind of insinuates that, oh, I'll beat you, and I'll show everyone what a real champion is. Nyla Rose stole Jade's belt, but, you know, they're obviously not fighting for the title. But did AEW ever explain on Dynamite why Nyla Rose has this championship? You know, Rampage is seen by very, very few people. And because they want to cram so much shit on TV, they don't want to waste their time, you know, recapping from the week before, maybe recapping from a TV show that three quarters of your audience is not watching. So we're supposed to understand every little thing that happens. You know, look at tonight with Ring of Honor. You know, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing Ian Riccaboni saying, like, oh, you know, there's a dark cloud over Ring of Honor. Shut the fuck up. I mean, I know he's doing his job and I love his work, but nobody gives a fuck that someone is cheating to win. We said 2 weeks ago that Daniel Garcia is going to pull a Jamie Hayter. Just when everybody thinks that Jamie Hayter is going to go against Britt Baker, she's going to help Britt Baker and she's going to reveal that she's still a heel. And Daniel Garcia did the exact same thing tonight. Why? Because it's more entertaining to see Bryan Danielson versus Daniel Garcia 3 and four or maybe five and then see him more, you know, just to keep the Ring of Honor. It feels like Ring of Honor is more important to Tony Khan than AEW is. And again, this is a guy fulfilling his fantasy. We get to enjoy the fruits of it. But understand at the end of the day, they're not trying to compete with WWE. He's trying to be in the same sentence as WWE. That's a difference. He, over 15 years, talking on message boards and other people out there, he's getting to fulfill what he always wanted for 15 years. I would do this. I wouldn't do this. Vince McMahon sucks. WWE sucks. And this is stupid. And this is that. And this is this. You know, but when you actually start thinking about it, there's a lot of antics and comedy. You know, it's not a, how could you, you look, if this was 1999 or 2002 or 2004, when Ring of Honor first started, you know, anybody that goes back to the early days of Ring of Honor, remember, everything was about honor, holding a ring rope, shaking hands and everything like that. Then what started happening? Honor no more. And then you would have matches that Ring of Honor wouldn't sanction because there was no honor involved. And they were like, oh, I get it. The promotion wants to now do stuff that is not honorable. So they'll play off that we don't endorse this. We'll let them do what they want to do, but this is not something that we go along with. Okay, maybe you could get away with that in the early years of Ring of Honor. But 20-some-odd years later, and Tony Khan owns it, you know, and they, oh, why is he cheating? Chris, do the right thing. What does that even mean? What the fuck does that even mean? You know, everybody understands that this is a form of entertainment. So, It's really frustrating. But, you know, people are starting to realize you can enjoy AEW. I still enjoy AEW. I thought today was a great show. But understand why AEW exists. Understand why it's on the air. Understand why certain things happen and certain things don't. Ring of Honor, for all of those years, never really pushed women's wrestling all that much. That was one of the negative aspects of Ring of Honor, and then they tried to surge it not too long ago. But over those years, you didn't see this big push for women's wrestling. And Tony Khan is a reflection of that. You see other things. He's a reflection of that. This is about him. Remember, every time you hear him plug AEW, everything starts with the letter I. I signed this. I booked this. I did this. I did that. I did this, I did that. And we're all supposed to make him feel like $1 trillion. That interview with Ariel Helwani just put the icing on the cake that this motherfucker is a petulant child who is a beloved wrestling fan who has billions of dollars that has no hobbies. All right, I don't even think he's in a relationship. So pro wrestling is his hobby. It is his love. It is what he goes to. And he is going to do it as long as he wants to. And if a network out there thinks that his hobby is going to interpret to TV ratings and some results, they're going to keep putting him on there. And he'll keep doing it. You know, you got to stop with, oh, his dad may cut off the money supply. No, that's not the case. Tony Khan has his own money. So, all right. Let's move on. Wow, we went half an hour, but I think this was very important. You know, we talked about Renee, we talked about the interview, we talked about the overall things, we talked about the NDA bullshit, we talked about the outside investigation, Tony Khan's ridiculous silence. There's no reason why Tony Khan cannot address what happened with MJF a long time ago. Oh, we know the reason why. Because he doesn't want to lie. He doesn't want to get caught in a lie. He doesn't want to look like a deer in headlights in an interview if he gets caught in a lie. So his way out is, can't talk about it. Can't talk about it. What happened to the outside investigation about the bots? With the bots? Remember the bots? What happened to that? What happened to this? What happened to this? There is nothing of the sort. It's more about, gee, we signed these people on 2 sheets of paper. What the fuck do we do about this? What legally can we do about this? What if this person sues us here? What if this person demands this? What if this person is this? The motherfucker never addressed any of that stuff. You never hear anything from their legal department. It's an outside investigation. And the worst part is most of these podcasters and most of these dirt sheets and most of these writers online, oh, we get it. Okay. So they let it go. They don't even bring it up. They don't even ask the questions. Even if Tony Khan is not on the air with them, they don't do it. You know when they do it? Once something comes out. Once something comes out. Look at the Sammy Guevara thing. I told you all that night that Tony Khan told both guys, look, please, you know, don't do anything. Don't, you know, don't talk to each other, just, you know, let it calm down. We got a show tonight, this, that, please don't. And Andrade didn't listen. And that's why Andrade was sent home and Sammy Guevara wasn't. period. While Brian Alvarez and TMZ are arguing with each other, who told the right thing, who didn't, I gave it to you straight to the point, and that's what happened, period. This outside investigation is not about who done it. I got news for you. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, Tony Khan needs them. He has nobody to replace them. They will be back on TV. So maybe not on TV, but behind the scenes sooner than you realize. I don't think people even understand. You know, that's why Cody Rhodes was never replaced. Because it's not about Cody Rhodes, the title, whatever he was. It was the person. Tony Khan thought Cody Rhodes, he despises WWE and Triple H. He wants AEW to succeed. Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, this is what my love for wrestling is all about. So these people are not just people working in the back like, the person, the hot dog guy left. Okay, let's hire a new hot dog guy. That's why Cody Rhodes was never replaced with any particular name, because all of these people, it's about his vision. It's about the culture. It's about his fantasy. And that's why you don't see any replacements. The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, I don't care what Hangman Page said tonight. Hangman Page cut an awesome promo. You know, remember what I always say, when you get to bring up reality in your promos, it always sounds better. That's why Heath Slater cut the promo of his life that night when he confronted Drew McIntyre right after Drew won the championship. That's why Homicide's promos, Eddie Kingston's promos, and others. That's why people always relate to them. Because when you could talk about reality, you don't have to think about the bullet points you have to make. You just think about shit that has happened, and you just throw it out there, and you get emotional because there's feeling. There's legit feelings behind it. So when Hangman Page's like, I'm angry, damn it. I'm pissed off. I'm depressed. I buried people. I brought people in this world, this and that. You don't even have to think about it because you're spitting facts. You don't have to remember bullet points. Hangman Page and Jon Moxley sold that match for next week. It's going to be a great match. I think we know the outcome from it. I think we all know that Moxley is going to retain. There's no reason why to take the title off of Moxley anytime soon. You know, but, you know, still. All right, let's talk briefly about Dynamite. Then I want to talk a little bit about NXT because NXT is on a roll. Sure, you know, some of their shows are hit or miss. Last week's show was very bizarre. But last night's show I thought was really spot on, and we got to talk about next Tuesday. You know, I will tell you, when I posted the preview for tonight's show yesterday, I can't tell you how many people emailed me and was like, wait, Dynamite's on next Tuesday? Dynamite's on next Tuesday. Wait, they're going head-to-head next? Oh, yes, they are. NXT and AEW Dynamite are going head-to-head next week. And I'm going to say something in a few minutes that is going to defend Tony Khan. Actually, you know what? Let's talk about it now. Let's talk about it now. NXT is obviously WWE's developmental. If you haven't figured that out, then you're in denial. And Rampage Dynamite is not AEW's developmental. Rampage is obviously more the B show. Don't give me, oh, it's Friday night. Don't give me that shit. People want to watch, they'll watch. You know, they had consistent 600,000-700,000 viewers for quite some time. But here's the thing. When Dynamite used to go up against NXT, yes, it was the Wednesday night war that fans, you know, created. And even though early on, well, you know, but NXT, look, the black and gold, 2019, the black and gold. So it's not really, it's WWE's third brand. It's not the developmental. So when AEW was beating NXT in the ratings, you know, some people would be like, oh, you know, that's their third brand or anything. I got news for you. If AEW beats NXT in the ratings next week, and I think they will, here's where I defend Tony. I think Tony Khan has every right to boast about it. Now, I know what some of you are saying right now. Wait, DT, hold on a minute. You used to say Tony Khan should not brag about beating NXT. There's a difference. Next week, which is the go-home show for Extreme Rules, the go-home show, you should focus more about building the matches for Extreme Rules. For Halloween Havoc. Did I say Extreme Rules? Halloween Havoc. So you would figure you would be directly building to Halloween Havoc. So next week, we're getting Sonya Deville. Next week, we may be getting Hit Row. Next week, we may be getting LA Knight. Next week, we might even get Rhea Ripley. Next week, we may get Shotzi. Why? Because last night, NXT advertised a whole bunch of matches for next week, and a lot of them are going to involve WWE stars from Raw and SmackDown. Why would you do that a week before Halloween Havoc? Because AEW Dynamite is going to air. If NXT would have just did their go-home show to Halloween Havoc, then I would have said differently. The fact that WWE is putting some of their Raw and SmackDown stars on NXT next week, if Dynamite beats them in the ratings, Tony Khan has every right to boast about it, because we would not have seen so many WWE Raw and SmackDown stars next week if Dynamite was not airing on Tuesday. So Triple H wants fans to watch NXT over Dynamite. And it's going to be really interesting, because I've already saw the noise, you know, I've read the stupidity online. There are people out there with blue check marks that are actually writing, oh, Triple H is bringing all these WWE people on next week. I hope AEW beats the fuck out of them. I hope WWE draws a horrible NXT. Why would you hope for a bad rating? Why would you hope for a shit show? We're wrestling fans. We should love the fucking fact that we're getting some teasers and surprisers and one night onlys for our enjoyment. And I'm seeing people, I hope they get burned to the ground. What the fuck are you talking about? It's so goddamn stupid, and I'm reading this from blue check marks. Tony Khan should brag next week because WWE decided to take a little swerve and throw a whole bunch of their main roster stars. Yes, it's the B squad, but still. So, NXT yesterday, they did 737,000 viewers. My friends, in 2021, their average viewership was 665. In 2020, Black and Gold, their average viewership was 698. Think about the roster in 2020. Think about when everybody says, oh, Black and Gold, Black and Gold, Black and Gold. NXT right now for 2022 is doing better ratings and comparable to 2019. What does that tell you? Does that tell you that, yes, it's developmental and not everything's going to be good, but we're seeing stars grown right before our very eyes? They did 737 yesterday. The Yankees were playing. The playoffs are on. NHL was on. NBA was on. Where's the fucking excuse now that, oh, other sports, Survivor, shootings, hurricanes, this and that. Where's the excuse that NXT did 737, higher than 2021's average, higher than 2020's average, close to 2019's average? What's the excuse? What's the excuse? Goes to what I've been saying for 26 years. It's not about what else is on TV. It's that you put on something where fans choose you over someone else. You don't ever see another TV show when they draw shit ratings, you don't ever see them say, well, you know, Raw was on or SmackDown was on. It's you put on a product where you tell the viewer subconsciously, hey, you know what? I want to watch this tonight. I want to watch wrestling tonight instead of this instead. That's what it comes down to. Whenever it's a great rating, nobody like talks about what else is on TV. But when wrestling does a shit rating, especially if it's a promotion they support, they'll blame it on everything else. Now, 2 weeks ago, it was different because you did have a large part of Florida that was unable to watch wrestling. You know, we had blackouts. We had other stuff. You had other states with storms. Maybe not a tremendous number, but even if it's 50,000 viewers, you know, 80,000. I don't know the exact number, but there are legitimate reasons sometimes. But there's no reason why NXT should have done 737 yesterday, other than fans decided, hey, I want to watch this instead of something else. Yesterday, we had Bron Breakker over Javier Bernal in a non-title match. Nathan Frazier over Axiom in a fabulous match. Nathan Frazier not only wins the 2 out of 3 falls, but now goes on to the ladder match at Halloween Havoc for the vacated North American Championship. Indy Hartwell over Valentina Feroz. Idris Inofi and Malik Blade, they are now the number one contenders of Pretty Deadly's championships. They beat the Dyad, Briggs, and Jensen in a 3-way. You know, Cameron Grimes actually caused the Dyad to lose. Keep that thought. It does have a WWE factor in a moment. Alba Fire over JC Jane after the match is over. Sonya Deville showed up. She laid out Alba Fire, and as a result, it's setting up a match next week between the two. So that is one match we're getting next week. Now, something I wanted to share with you, which is really, really sad. Sonya Deville right now is on NXT for this week and next to help in place of Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose, for those that don't know, her brother Richie passed away. He was only 40 years old. I'm not going to discuss cause of death or anything like that because as far as I know, the family has not revealed it, but she was very, very close with her brother. And that is why they did the storyline. Remember last week when we were like, oh, that's a weird storyline, like Alba Fire kidnapped Mandy Rose. We didn't even see Mandy in the vehicle. She was not there because her brother had passed. So she is off TV a little bit. And Sonya Deville, who is very, very close with Mandy Rose, you know, they're best friends. She is there, you know, helping. And just so everybody knows the deal there. Wesley over Stax. There is a WWE factor with that as well. We will talk about it in a moment. Kiana James over Thea Hale and Ilya Dragunov over Grayson Waller. Those were the matches from yesterday. Now, the WWE influence for next week. As I showed you already, Alba Fire will be taking on Sonya Deville. Now, Cameron Grimes caused the Dyad from winning the number one contenders match for the tag titles. So, next week, we're going to get a six-man tag of the Schism, the Dyad and Joe Gacy versus Cameron Grimes and two other partners. Now, Cameron Grimes did a backstage segment and said that maybe I don't have any friends in NXT, but that doesn't mean all of WWE. So Cameron Grimes will be teaming up with two people next week, pretty much from the main roster. Now, I have heard four names being thrown around. One of them is currently not on the WWE roster. So I say take that with a grain of salt. But I have been told that the two possibilities that they are thinking about to have team up with Cameron Grimes is either Hit Row, which I don't know really what the tie is there, to be honest with you. And I also heard L.A. Knight and another person. And the person that was thrown around to me was Jonah, the former Bronson Reed. Don't know if that's going to happen. Do not take it as news. But those are names that have been thrown around to me since yesterday. Hit Row, L.A. Knight, Jonah. So we'll see. We'll see who ends up showing up. You know, I don't think it'll be like Los Lotharios. You know, it's not going to be Legado, but we'll see what happens. That is next week. Now, something else. Last night, Stax lost to Wesley. Tony D'Angelo shows up. Hey, Stax, you disappoint me. So you know what? Next week, you're going to face somebody of my choosing. And a lot of people think that Stax is going to face a WWE wrestler. The problem is, who on the WWE roster, or even in the NXT roster, would Tony D'Angelo bring out for some tough love for Stax? Nobody comes to mind on the NXT roster. So I asked someone that I trust today, hey, have you heard any names being thrown around for the opponent for Stax? Anybody have any idea? Not Gunther. Not Via Mahan. Via's already in NXT. Believe it or not, I heard, do not take this as news again. NXT's off just 24 hours ago. So this hasn't even developed yet. Yeah, Tony C, you got it. Omas. Believe it or not, the person going around early on is Omas. So Tony D'Angelo may actually bring Omas, worked out a deal with MVP, and Omas is going to beat the balls off of Stax. We'll see. We don't know yet. We'll see. Anything can happen, everyone. There's more. Next week, actually, you're going to see them on SmackDown and Raw. Roxanne Perez will be on SmackDown this Friday. Cora Jade will be on Raw this Monday. Why? Because we have a match next week. Roxanne Perez is going to go to SmackDown, and she is going to pick someone to represent her. And whoever that person is going to face whoever Cora Jade picks from Raw. Now, the person that I was told, two people. The one of them I don't believe at all. I was told, actually it was three people that was told to me. One was Aaliyah. And I don't think that's the case because I thought Aaliyah was injured. So, and personally, I don't think Aaliyah would be that much of a factor. The other person that I was told that I think makes a lot of sense is Shotzi, because Shotzi obviously was very beloved in NXT. Shotzi has that connection with NXT. So Roxanne Perez may actually approach Shotzi on SmackDown. And that kind of makes the most sense because Roxanne Perez is a babyface. They're trying to get Shotzi over as a babyface again. Shotzi may end up being Roxanne Perez's pick to wrestle on NXT next week. Another one, Natalya, yeah, I could get that. I could see because of her, but, you know, Natalya is not a baby face on SmackDown, so I don't think that would really fly. I think it's going to be a clear-cut baby face. Someone else told me Liv Morgan. I personally don't think it's going to be Liv Morgan. So I think Shotzi might be the most likely person to show up. Now, Raw is a little bit more interesting because Cora Jade name dropped Rhea Ripley yesterday, and Cora Jade said that, oh, she talked to Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's going to represent her. And she kind of like teased. She took her phone and she's like, you see, and she put it down quickly. I asked someone last night, you know, will you really get Rhea Ripley? And the person said to me that they heard that more than likely what's going to happen is Cora Jade is going to approach Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's going to say, no fucking way. What are you, nuts? So Cora Jade may have a little bit of a difficult problem on Raw. I don't think it's going to be somebody like Dana Brooke, to be honest with you, but Cora Jade may have a little bit more of a hard time finding someone. So we have quite a bit of WWE influence on next week. Dakota Kai is a great choice, Chris. Dakota Kai, hey, and you know what? Dakota Kai versus Shotzi. Yeah, I could see that. Raquel Rodriguez, I would see also. Raquel Rodriguez is not a bad choice for Roxanne Perez. Actually, you know what? And I'm not saying this in any, you know, I don't even want to use the R word, but, you know, Raquel Rodriguez, Roxanne Perez, you know, they're both Latina. Maybe there's a little thing there. I can picture Raquel Rodriguez. They start talking in Spanish on Friday. So Raquel Rodriguez may actually end up being a choice. But, you know, who do you have to go up against? Raquel Rodriguez versus, you know what? Raquel Rodriguez versus Dakota Kai. I kind of like that. Yeah, that could be the way to go. So we'll see what happens. So we got quite a bit for next week. So, you know, something to look forward to. But again, you know, I personally think that if AEW was not going to be on next Tuesday, we probably would not get what we're getting this coming Tuesday. Now, your current card for Halloween Havoc, that's a little too small. That's not. You got Ilya Dragunov versus Bron Breakker versus JD McDonagh for the NXT Championship. We also have Mandy Rose defending the Women's Championship against Alba Fire. We have the NXT North American ladder match, you know, to determine the new champion. It's going to be Oral Mensa versus Nathan Frazier, Carmelo Hayes, Von Wagner, and Wes Lee. And a lot of people think that Wes Lee may actually be taking this one. We have Damon Kemp and basically Julius Creed with the stipulation that if Julius Creed loses, the Creed brothers have to split up because Brutus will be out of NXT. And let me tell you something. They did something really stupid yesterday. You know, but you got to think a little bit deeper, though. They did a storyline where Roderick Strong is still in the hospital with a neck brace, and they did the Rocky II. Just win. Win the Diamond Mine. And, you know, the thing is, if Roddy shows up next Tuesday, next Saturday at Halloween Havoc and causes Julius Creed to win, what did he do? Rent a hospital room? Hey, come on, guys. I need to fool these people. Come on, can I just use the room? Like, why would he be in a hospital bed for real with IVs and a neck brace and a hospital gown if he's not really injured? So, you know, you got to think a little bit deeper here. Like, if Roddy was home in a wheelchair with the neck brace, then I could see. But he was in a legit hospital, which, yeah, I'm kind of reading a little bit too deep. But don't discount the possibility that Brutus Creed may be elevated to the main roster by himself. I don't know how people would feel about that. All right, we have also Roxanne Perez versus Cora Jade in their Extreme Rules match. That's really what it is. You know, they just didn't call it Extreme Rules, you know, hardcore, because of the fact that we just had the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. But it's going to be weapons match, and it's going to be pretty good. So I think that's your card. Oh, no. Apollo Crews versus Grayson Waller. And, man, I tell you, you know, I've always said that we should have main roster people show up in NXT. Give a little rub. Help some of the stars of tomorrow. You know, that was done in developmental days as well. But if you really want to talk about people who may be considered demoted, I think Apollo Creed is the only one that it truly feels was demoted. Not saying that Grayson Waller is not going to be a future star, but, you know, what we have seen the last week with the eyes and making him blind and stuff like that, it's just really weird. And they show Apollo Crews. He's leaning against a lamppost yesterday, and he's writing in a book. He's in a parking lot in the middle of the night, and he's leaning against a lamppost writing in a book. I mean, maybe in 1990 you would do that, but I probably would be like on my tablet or I'd be on my phone. I would be fucking sitting on a bench that was right in the corner of the screen. Sit on a fucking bench. He's literally leaning. Remember Frank Sinatra when he did that little like music thing when he's leaning against the lamppost. I don't remember what song it was. Was it Summer Wind? I mean, he looked like a goof. This whole match, the whole storyline is kind of goofy, but still, decent ratings for NXT. Decent ratings for NXT. All right, let's talk a little bit about AEW. As we said earlier, Renee Paquette is now a member of AEW. If you're not aware of it already, John Moxley just signed a 5-year extension with AEW. And the press release talks about not only will he be locked up with AEW through 2027, that his responsibilities will be expanded to include mentoring and coaching talent. Plus, John Moxley will be working exclusively for AEW and its international partners, including New Japan Pro Wrestling. The rest of the press release can be seen here. This is one of those, to be honest with you, this is one of those where John Moxley met with Tony Khan, and to take a quote from The Godfather, Tony Khan made an offer that he couldn't refuse. John Moxley now will only be seen only for AEW, New Japan, and that's pretty much it. The GCW days, over. Indies, over. He is paying a large amount of money for John Moxley to be strictly AEW. And I brought this up on Monday, brought it up on Patreon yesterday, bringing it up again here now, because over the last 48 hours, it not only has not changed, but it has strengthened. There is no working relationship with WWE and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Triple H is allowing Karl Anderson to defend his never open weight championship. Karl Anderson will still compete for a short amount of time in New Japan. Once he drops that title, then his obligations will be pretty much over. Triple H is being a little bit flexible there. It is not a working relationship. And if you, and I'm just saying it, and even if you don't want to admit it publicly, deep down inside, I know you agree with me. Especially that Tony Khan is so infatuated with New Japan Pro Wrestling as well, and a lot of their talents. If WWE worked out some type of a deal with New Japan, or even hinted that they had a deal with New Japan, I guarantee you, Tony Khan will go on social media immediately and shred that to pieces. There is no way that Tony Khan is going to sit back and let that, you know, develop, that Tony Khan, that New Japan Pro Wrestling, after everything. Now listen, think about Forbidden Door, the pay-per-view. Think about Forbidden Door and think about everything that has gone on with AEW and New Japan in 2022. And imagine if people start reporting as fact, or even WWE teasing, that there is a working relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling and WWE. Tony Khan would be all over that shit, ripping it apart and dispelling it. So I'm telling you, I'm telling you. Sure, look, anything could happen. But as far as I've been told, nothing. Not even close to the sort. I was looking for that screenshot of that. Well, yeah, I found it, of that woman. If, just imagine if WWE ended up with a working relationship, this would be Tony Khan. Anybody remember this from the pay-per-view? The look on your face when you brag about the working relationship with New Japan of in 2022 just to see WWE then work out a deal with WWE after all. That would be Tony Khan's look on his face. If there was a press release tomorrow, New Japan, WWE, enter a working relationship. The Forbidden Door is wide open. That would be Tony Khan's, that would be his look on social media. He would be reading that, and he would lose it. He would lose, blow a gasket. So trust me when I tell you, it ain't happening. It's not happening. All right, tonight on Dynamite, We had Luchasaurus over Jungle Boy, Christian Cage on commentary. Ethan Page backstage segment with Isaiah Cassidy. They're going to be wrestling on Rampage. And stipulation, if Isaiah Cassidy wins, which he will, then they're no longer under contract with the firm. If Ethan Page wins, then they own, the firm owns Matt Hardy's contract. QT Marshall comes out with the factory. They make fun of War Joe's name. This brings out Samoa Joe and Wardlow, and we get basically War Joe. Hate that name. They defeated QT Marshall and Nick Camarado. Beautiful senton by Wardlow, followed by the muscle buster to Camarado by Samoa Joe. After the match is over, QT Marshall, you know, just like Sterling Mark Sterling, I have to take a bump also, a high-profile bump. He's got to get hit with the powerbomb party. Prince Nana and the Embassy come out. Remember, there's three members of the Embassy. Keep that in the back of your mind. They come out, and Brian Cage cutting a very good promo, talking about how nobody wants to see Wardlow powerbomb QT Marshall. I'm with you, Brian. Brian Cage starts mocking FTR. So who comes out? FTR. FTR, they are, you know, happy to be in Toronto. Crowd is losing their shit. But FTR is not alone. Remember, Embassy, three people. FTR, two people. So, even though, as somebody so eloquently said earlier, last time we saw Sean Spears, he was attacking Wardlow. Sean Spears comes out with FTR, cleans house. So, in the very near future, we're going to get FTR and Sean Spears versus the Embassy. I think that's happening Friday on Rampage. You know, Insta-feud. Insta-feud. Acme Insta-feud. Anybody goes back with me on that? Much love. Swerve Strickland, over Billy Gunn. You know, one thing I thought was stupid, you know, Swerve, you know, grabs the ropes, little leverage win. The Acclaimed come out, and they walk right past Swerve, and Swerve is like, almost like, I beat your guy, and they just walk by. I mean, I'm sorry, you should not cross paths like that. You know, if you saw the moment, you know what I'm talking about. Like, Swerve is going up the rampway, and the Acclaimed is coming down, and they're more concerned about helping Billy Gunn up so they could scissor each other. And then what do we get? The most awful... I'd rather watch Mike Adamley. Vintage WWE Mike Adamley than see this. Because Mark Sterling works behind the scenes, he gets to do his own segment. I would not be surprised if he actually paid for the trademark for Varsity Athletes. That we'll talk about another day. He comes out and he claims that he has bought the trademark for Scissor Me. So now the Acclaimed can no longer use the term, and if they do, Mark Sterling will sue them. Now, can you guess what's going to happen in the near future? We're probably going to get the Acclaimed defending the AEW tag titles against Josh Woods and Tony Nese, and if the Acclaimed lose, then the Josh Woods and Tony Nese will be AEW tag team champions, but if the Acclaimed win, then they will own the trademark to Scissor Me. This is almost as stupid than the Swerve con. You remember the petition? Orange Cassidy, just sign it, and Swerve is out of AEW. Oh, better yet, have a match with Tony Nese, and if you lose, you must sign the petition. Awful. MJF cutting a promo. First off, he tells off Stokely Hathaway, who happened to show up for no particular reason. Talks about William Regal a little bit. They're both, you know, from the same cloth. He's not sure if he would have shaked Willie Uta's hand, but if you pay close attention, there has been a shift in MJF's promos. MJF, especially tonight, is sounding more and more and more like vintage Roddy Piper. You listen to him, talks about how he was brought up, and he doesn't even like himself. But if that's what it takes to become champion, that's what he's going to do. I'm telling you, that second part of his promo tonight, that was Roddy Piper. He talks about his upbringing, that he would punch his own shadow. MJF is now going full-blown Piper. And let me tell you something. That is awesome. And that also is going to help him if he ends up going to WWE in 2024. And believe me when I tell you that if we've had this conversation before, the biggest concern right now with MJF is if he goes to WWE down the line, he cannot get vulgar like he is now. He cannot talk about somebody's mother being a crackhead or whore. He cannot talk about the fans like he does. He cannot be, you know, he can't be anywhere near as explicit. So now, yes, he snuck in a shit word tonight. The majority of his promo, that could have been cut in 1985 and it would have made TV. So I liked it. I liked every minute of it. John Moxley comes out hyping up the match with Hangman Page next week. We got MJF sitting in the rafters watching this. Before John Moxley could say anything about Hangman Page, Page comes out. He addresses what Moxley said last week about him, that Moxley called him a nice kid. He asks Moxley, did you mean that? Moxley, like, yeah. And you're not the person that you used to be. And Hangman Page, that's where he just lets it loose. Gets very, very raw, very, very real. Talking how he's not the same person. He's angry. He's depressed. Brings up a couple of things in his life. He brings up how he lost the Trios tag team championship match with his best friends, and some of them are disappearing. He says his old friends have disappeared. Then he starts getting really pumped up. He starts punching his head. Little vintage Ric Flair, little vintage Terry Funk, few others, and even got a little welt on his head in the process. Very, very passionate. Unfortunately, though, when Hangman Page said that he's given his word, he's going to be the next AEW Heavyweight Champion, the crowd responded, MJF, MJF, MJF. So even though Hangman Page really did his job for next week's match, fans are still digging the devil. We get the Ring of Honor championship match, Jericho retaining over Bryan Danielson. You know, we're starting to get more ref bumps. I don't know if people realize that. Paul Turner takes a ref bump. Danny Magic throws the Ring of Honor championship into the ring. Jericho grabs it, is teasing that he's going to hit Danielson with it, but he's letting Danielson take 90 seconds to get up. So Daniel Garcia runs down, and he's got to run down holding his Ring of Honor championship too. He hits the ring. He stops Jericho from using the belt. I guess honor, right? So what happens? Bryan Danielson, when Jericho is distracted, Bryan Danielson hits the psycho knee. So what happens right after? Well, Daniel Garcia lays out Bryan Danielson. Yeah, I know we called it 2 weeks ago, but I was thinking how they can actually get around this and not make it as deep as it came across tonight. But the fans, you know, very mixed reaction to what Daniel Garcia did. Bryan Danielson is knocked out as a result. Jericho pins him. And again, I'm sick of this black cloud once again hovering over Ring of Honor. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. We know it's sports entertainment. This isn't 2007, you know, but whatever. Then Claudio, Wheeler Yuta, William Regal, they start walking down the ring, and Jericho Appreciation Society gets out of Dodge. So where could they go with the Daniel Garcia thing other than that he just changed his mind and now he's a sports entertainer? What I think they could do, not saying they're going to do this, but they could do this. If Daniel Garcia is about honor, and if Daniel Garcia is a pro wrestler, not a sports entertainer, and if Daniel Garcia was legitimately against Chris Jericho using the championship, think about what Bryan Danielson did. While Daniel Garcia was distracting Chris Jericho, stopping him from using the championship, Bryan Danielson nailed Jericho with the psycho knee. If you really look at that spot, it looks like Bryan Danielson took advantage of a distracted Chris Jericho. You follow where I'm going with this? That's not honorable either. I'm not saying they're going to go that route, but if they want an easy way out of this, then Daniel Garcia could cut that on Danielson next week. You know, what you did was not honorable either. I stopped him from using a championship, but while he was distracted, you hit him with the psycho knee. I'm just throwing it out there, everyone. We'll see what happens. Tony Storm and Akaro Shida over Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. I know what a lot of you were asking. Where was Saraya? Saraya actually had to go back to the UK this week. I don't know the reason behind it. We will talk about Saraya again in a moment because she had a little bit of a spat today with Jim Cornette. I have the screenshots. We'll have a little fun. So the match was good. Towards the end, we had a couple of pin attempts between Shida and Britt Baker. Shida ends up with a fruit roll-up, and she gets the surprise win. Handshake between Toni Storm and Shida afterwards, and then we find out that next week, Toni Storm will be defending the interim women's championship against Hikaru Shida. I heard there is a possibility Thunder Rosa may actually appear next week, but so far, we've only had two matches announced for next week. We got Hangman Page versus Moxley, got Shida versus Storm, and we have MJF is going to be there cutting a promo, and then you're going to have the sit down with Renee Paquette, Wheeler Yuta, Bryan Danielson. Main event, Orange Cassidy defeats Pac to win the All-Atlantic Championship. Again, you know, the fact that this was your main event, unless the lights were going to go out and somebody was going to show up, you pretty much knew. I saw everybody online. Oh, shit, Orange Cassidy's going to win the belt tonight. Why else would you go off the air? Tony Khan needs the happy moment. And that's exactly what happened. I'll tell you this much, though. This might have been next to his match at Forbidden Door. This might have been my favorite Orange Cassidy match in AEW so far. You know, some of his comical stuff, you know, I'm not that thrilled about, but, you know, he does enough in the ring that I'm fine with it. But this might have been my favorite match so far. And he won the championship. Crowd loved it, and that's what matters, right? So he is your new All-Atlantic championship. He's your champion. You know, not a bad match. So on Rampage Friday, Ethan Page versus Isaiah Cassidy, as I said. We got the Butcher and the Blade versus Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli. Gee, I wonder who's going to win there. We have Anna Jay versus Nyla Rose, and I like Nyla Rose. Bring your JAS so I could kick your ASS. I like that. There was one other match. I can't recall who was going to fight. There was another match that was going to go on. Anybody remember the other match going to be on Rampage Friday? Because they did advertise another match. I'm sure somebody in the chat room will post it in a few minutes. I'll definitely relay it to everyone. Before I show you what happened with Saraya and Jim Cornette, Sammy Guevara issued some comments about what went down with Andrade. And I wish somewhere in there he would have brought up that he discussed, you know, talked to Andrade at least. Because, you know, I'm a Sammy Guevara fan, but I'm going to be straight out with you, straight up, because I'm on the outside looking in. This sounds like more of the same from Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara said, and I quote, "I know some people want me to comment on what exactly happened at AEW Dynamite, but man, I'm done with focusing on the negativity. I feel like when you're on this trajectory to where I'm headed, there's going to be people who are going to do everything in their power to try to drag you down to their level, and I know I'm above that, so I'm not going to focus on any of that bullshit. I'm going to focus on what I'm headed, which is sky's the limit. But there's a whole universe out there, and that's where I'm headed, man. I'm not gonna lose focus. I'm not gonna comment on any of this bullshit. Instead, I want to do this thing that Ty and I do. Anytime we're too negative or focusing too much on some shit, that's not really important in life, we say to each other. What's five things you're grateful for? Five things I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for my health, my life, Tay. I'm grateful for the job I have, and I'm grateful for you guys. Thank you to the people who support me and to the people who don't believe everything they read online. I just want to say thank you to those people. Grateful for those people actually care enough to watch something I put out. Like I said, I am a supporter of Sammy Guevara. I actually took Sammy Guevara's side in some of this, you know, but at the same time, this, we've heard this before. And, you know, it's to be continued, but it kind of feels like, you know, who's the next person in line that clashes with the AEW culture and gets into it with Sammy. So we'll see. All right. We're going to wrap up tonight's show with this. Now, very quickly, don't forget, next Thursday, I will be doing your next mailbag. So if you have a question you would like for me to answer on next Thursday's mailbag, email it, dontony@dontony.com. You still got about 6 days to get it in, but don't wait till the last minute. And as I showed you earlier, I'm kind of afraid to hit the button again because my audio went all out of whack afterwards. It's happening, everyone. Thursday, November 3rd, 8:05 p.m. See? Holy shit. Holy shit. It happened again. I literally hit the button and the thing disappeared. Wow. This is kind of haunted, man. I'm not kidding. There you go. It's happening. Yours truly versus JD from New York on YouTube in the community section right now. We have the thread open for your questions. JD will be picking about 10. I will be picking about 10. If we don't find 10 good ones each, then we will pick out just our favorites, and they will be discussed on that Thursday show. We'll be doing live super chats and everything else, regular chat. But if you want to throw something out there, you want to hear us debate. Somebody already threw the Triple H thing out there. So you already know we are going to have a difference of opinion over Triple H and NXT. So go check it out. Check out other people's questions. All right. Saraya versus Jim Cornette and Cora Jade versus Bron Breakker. Both had a spat tonight on Twitter. Saraya, you know, trying to calm down the atmosphere a little bit. You know, and I've said that AEW is kind of at fault also by not clearing up, you know, her health condition. Is she cleared to wrestle? But look, it's storyline now. She is cleared. I don't know how many times I got to say it. She's cleared. It's going to turn into a storyline. Could the unsanctioned match happen still at Full Gear? Yes. I'm kind of surprised AEW did not announce more matches for next Tuesday tonight. Maybe they didn't bring up anything with Saraya because of the fact that she wasn't in Toronto tonight. But I'm not saying that Saraya is going to fight next week. But you know how Tony Khan is with ratings, man. If he wants to try to kill NXT in the ratings next week, I would not put it out of the question that Saraya doesn't get a little physical. We'll see what happens. But Saraya, you would think, maybe kind of like try to calm the air a little bit. She goes on Twitter today and she writes this. Dirt sheets, podcasters, and an old man that loves to have his voice heard even if it's full of shit, and she does write in parentheses, Cornette, loves to talk about me. You're welcome for the clicks and views. Now, look, I don't feel that our channel here is included in that. We are very supportive of Saraya. I have said nothing but positive. I did criticize her promo from 2 weeks ago, but everything I've said about her signing is positive, and I've also discussed that she will return to the ring. I've also been honest, too. I don't know if she can hang with the current crop of WWE stars. You know, it's not about her being 30. It's not about, you know, if she can wrestle or not. But, you know, you look at that ladder match that went down with Bayley and Bianca Belair at Extreme Rules. You know, could Saraya do that now? I don't know. Now, obviously, all WWE women's matches don't involve ladders, but you see some of the physicality with some of these matches and a lot of power moves. You know, maybe WWE just felt like, you know, it's a little too risky. You know, they're a little paranoid when it comes to injuries. but I still defended Saraya. So she decides to name drop Jim Cornette. You knew Jim Cornette was going to respond. And here's his response. Thank you for the you're welcome. But the last clip we spoke about you has yet to outperform Jerry Jarrett's locker room fight with Dandy Jack Donovan in 1973. So please try to be more interesting. Thank you. Ouch. Ouch. And I will admit, I even clicked on that video of Jack Donovan and Jerry Jarrett's fight. And after about 30 seconds, I was like, nah, I'm not interested. So, yeah, I mean, the fact that that clip is outdrawing Saraya, that is a burn. I got to be honest with you. Jim Cornette won that one. So I leave you all with this. While we see more anger and heat and a lot of, you know, negativity in AEW, not everybody, but, you know, it's out there. That vibe is a little bit shaky. It's obviously turned into some storyline as well. While that is going on, we get this. We get this. This is what Cora Jade and Bron Breakker, this is the slaps that they had today. Anybody know about the tortilla challenge? For those that don't know the tortilla challenge, I didn't even know this exists. You got to fill your mouth up with water. And then you got to do rock, paper, scissors. And then whoever loses, you got to slap them in the face with a tortilla. And the first person that laughs and spits out the water loses. Yes. Of course, it's stupid. But it's supposed to be fun. Go check the slap. Look. Here's the slap. It's coming. Oh, she wailed him. She wailed him. She wailed him. But nobody spit out the water yet, so we don't have a winner yet. That water must be so gross, man. You ever, like, take a slug of water and you leave it in your mouth for, like, 45 seconds? Who got this one? I think Bron Breakker won this one. Come on, let's see it. This is Jim Cornette versus Saraya. Come on, let's see it slap. Oh, she won. She won. That's gotta hurt, man. That's gotta hurt. Oh, man, that's funny. Oh, I see she losing? Wait. I never saw who won. Oh, he won this one. All right. Hit her hard, man. Oh, you didn't even hit her. We never figured out who won. Cora Jade, we want to know who won. Listen, maybe I'm in more of the lighthearted relationship spirit because I just got married. That's nice to see. You know, just acting a little goofy. Maybe I'll do the tortilla challenge. How many of you want to see me do the tortilla challenge with my wife? I guarantee you, seriously. Here, look, we got the Gotti plate. If I win the tortilla challenge, rock, paper, slippers, there. Oh! Oh! Do not do that wearing glasses. Oh, did you hear that? That was not smart. That is not smart. Oh, man. I legitimately got a mark under my eye. You see that? That was not smart. All right. Do it with JD. How am I going to slap him? What am I going to do, slap the camera? Rock, paper, scissors. Out of here!
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
You're bleeding. You're bleeding.